police shooting of Michael Brown in August of 2014.
We intend to aggressively prosecute this case, and we intend to prevail. The residents of Ferguson have waited nearly a year for their city to adopt an agreement that would protect their rights and keep them safe.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
How big is Rite Aid's Big Point event? Plenty big. The more participating products you buy with Wellness Plus with Plenty, the more Plenty points you earn through February 27th. Earn 2,000 points when you spend $100, another 1,500 when you get to $150, and yet another 1,500 at $200. That's up to 5,000 Plenty points worth at least $50 in savings, only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
Here in the U.S., we have the world's largest and safest air traffic control system, but some of the FAA's most critical facilities rely on technology that's over 50 years old. Sharon Pinkerton is the Senior Vice President for Policy at Airlines for America.
The U.S. air traffic control system is no longer the gold standard when it comes to air traffic control.
President and CEO of Airlines for America, Nicholas Calio, is testifying today before Congress to fight for modernizing air traffic control, enhancing safety, and making flying more efficient. Airlines for America argues that the nation needs a reliable system to ensure access for all users while preserving and expanding services for communities both large and small. The organization says effects of budget unpredictability and organizational structure have slowed progress on implementing next-generation technologies. They've also inhibited the ability to adequately staff facilities and acquire the best equipment for the nation's air traffic controllers. Sharon Pinkerton with Airlines for America says cargo carriers are spending $30 billion in excess fuel because of inefficient routing.
While our World War II radar system is safe, it's far from being the most efficient. We need to get to that system so that we're not flying in a zigzag approach, but we're taking the most direct routing.
She says while America's system is safe, it could be improved.
Air traffic control, when it's moved out of the federal government, the system becomes even safer.
Powered by WesternJournalism.com, I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
On today's program, I'll be talking about why you should plan for a disaster in your business, how to avoid losing business to the competition. I'll have 6 tips to avoid distraction, and why if a customer is only buying from you because of price, you should let them go. It's Thursday, February 11th, 2016, and I'll have all that and more starting right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows the temperature currently a very chilly 20 degrees at 12:05. Today, we're going to have a chance of a snow shower throughout the day, windy conditions and colder temperatures with a high of 28 and a low of 17. Tomorrow, it'll turn cloudy and cold with a high of 28 and a low of 17. Saturday, we're going to have variable cloudiness with a high of only 21 degrees and a low of 1. And for Sunday, it'll be sunny and frigid with a high of 20 and a low of just 4 degrees. Bundle up, everybody. It's going to get wicked cold.
And we be taking care of business.
Current check of the financial market shows that the Dow is currently down 333 points to 15,581.15. The NASDAQ down 51.73 to 4,231.86. S&P 500 down 32.38 to 1,819.48. Oil down $1.15 to $26.30 per barrel. And gold is up $59.70 to $1,254.30 an ounce. So, big sell-off going on Wall Street today. No real reason for it. These corrections happen usually early in the year, but there's no indicators that anything is imminent that would create the need for you to run and put a run in the bank and stick the money under the mattress. Well, once again, hello. Jim Gano back with you. Now, I do want to thank everybody for the phone calls, the emails, the reaching out to me on Facebook or Twitter and saying, where the heck are you today? Last Thursday, we had a little problem here. You may have heard about this, but the way internet radio works is you have to have a host platform that will carry your station. And we used to use a program called Live 365. And because of new licensing fees, copyright fees, etc., Live 365 simply ran out of money and went dark on the Sunday before our last show at about 10 p.m. They just literally pulled the plug and went dark. So we didn't have a hosting platform with which to carry the station. So Chris Phelan, the president of the chamber, Chris Bianco, Big C, that you hear here on the morning show every day, worked very hard to get us back on the air. We were able to make an announcement last Thursday night at the Crown Trophy Networking Card Club that the station was going to be back on the air, and they did get us back up and running on Monday. So glad to be back. I can't tell you how it felt when I heard that we went dark because obviously there was never an opportunity to say goodbye. And also just how much I enjoyed doing this show. The feedback that I get from you, our listeners, and to think that we weren't going to have that opportunity to get together every Thursday was really a little upsetting. So glad to be back. Hopefully we'll have great content for you that you can enjoy and that you can share both with your owners of your businesses, with the employees at your businesses, or if you yourself are the owner, things that you can do to make your business better. Interesting thing happened on the way to the studio, if you will, Tuesday night. Now, for the last 32 years, I've been announcing various sporting events. I've done New Jersey Devils games. I've done the New Jersey Pride of Major League Lacrosse. For 5 years, I was one of the announcers for the Somerset Patriots. And then for the last 32 years, I've been announcing high school football and basketball at Bridgewater Raritan High School. So I was walking out of the gym after Tuesday night's win over Franklin High School, and a gentleman came up to me in the hallway, and he's like, excuse me, excuse me. And I didn't think he was talking to me, but he actually was. And so he stopped me, and he said, you know, you do a really good job announcing. You have a great voice. You keep the crowd into it. The way you use the music during timeouts, it's really entertaining. He says, we've been watching you. And I said, who's been watching me? And he told me the name of the university that he represents. And now they want to talk to me about announcing basketball games there. I'm not at liberty right now to discuss which university is here in New Jersey, but they are. They want to invite me down to come see a game at their arena and then see if I would take on their program next year. So interesting little turn of events. And I asked them, I said, aren't you here to see our players? And they go, oh, yeah, we've scouted a couple of your players, but we're also interested in you. So I thought that was unique. Never had that happen to me before. I did want to make a programming note. Next week, we're going to have a phone interview with the chief marketing officer from OnDeck Capital. Now, OnDeck is an alternative way to get funding for your business. And if your business could use some operating capital to buy new equipment, cover payroll, reduce debt, you don't want to miss this show. It is a very painless procedure, and the money is usually in your account after approval within 1 to 2 business days. And it's just, they're going to go through the whole program. They're going to talk about different lending options. And so if you've struggled with either, maybe you've thought about expansion for your business and you just can't get the money from the traditional lending sources, banks and things like that. You don't want to necessarily put it all on credit cards. You don't want to mortgage your house again. This could be the way, depending on the cost of the equipment and depending on your sales, of how you can do it. So that's an interesting show. We're going to promote the heck out of that next week. So the folks from On Deck Capital will be joining me on the phone to talk about alternative ways to get funding for your business. So obviously, we missed it last week because I couldn't talk about the Iowa caucuses, but on Tuesday of this week, we had the New Hampshire primary, and the field is getting thinner and thinner. So you can forget Iowa. New Hampshire just shook up the presidential race big time. For the Democrats, Bernie Sanders defeated Hillary Clinton by 23.5%. And even though Clinton won Iowa by a razor-thin margin, which was just 0.03 of a percentage point, Sanders has to have the momentum going into South Carolina on the Democratic start that we started with five candidates, and we are now down to just two. For the Republicans, Donald Trump defeated everybody by 20%, but most shocking was that John Kasich came in second ahead of Ted Cruz, who won Iowa last week. Jeb Bush came in fourth, Marco Rubio came in fifth, Chris Christie came in sixth and ended his bid for the nomination yesterday. Carly Fiorina came in seventh and has suspended her campaign after and now dropped out after firing all of her campaign staff. And Dr. Ben Carson came in eighth, says he will stay in the race. So with now five candidates remaining, the media has dubbed them the Stayin' Alive Five. We started with 17 candidates, and now we're down to the Stayin' Alive Five. And then we'll get down to the Fab Four and the Terrific Three and the Dynamic Duo until we finally have a nominee. So the Stayin' Alive Five is going to be interesting to watch. The next primary will be South Carolina. That will be on February 20th. All good. And then, of course, there are still rumblings that former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg may enter the presidential race sometime in March. I think he's just waiting to... again, let the field thin out a little bit and then see whether or not he wants to get involved. Most people are betting he would run as an independent and then he wouldn't have to he could jump in the race pretty much at any time. So very interesting turn of events coming out of New Hampshire. I know that Russ from Success Communications is probably mad at me for turning off the Bee Gees. It's one of his favorites from back when he had hair. But, you know, you can always put it on your iPod, Russ. Don't forget Pandora Radio as well. When we come back, this is something I have done every year in my business and something that most businesses ignore. But when we start talking about hurricanes and floods and fires and things like that, it's something everybody needs. And what I'm going to talk about is how disaster doesn't need to spell the end for your small business. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on Hunter and Chamber Radio. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Huntington County, New Jersey.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, and happening times over there at Crown Trophy of Flemington. We are off to a great start this year, and hopefully you are too in your business. But all divisions, trophies, varsity jackets, signs, apparel, and promotional items are just going crazy right now, and I would love to tell you that it's all my fault and that I've marketed like crazy, and that's the this is the end result that we're seeing increased sales. But I don't know what's causing it. I'm just happy that it's happening, and we're going to do a deeper dive to try to figure out what is the impetus of that extra business that we've received this year. So all good stuff going on at Crown Trophy of Flemington. When we talk about disasters in business, what I'm talking about is when something happens to your business that affects whether or not you're going to be able to open up tomorrow. Then what I ask is, how fast can we get up and running? Now, when you see the news over the last several months, down in the South, they had terrible rains, and you saw Main Street USA everywhere just flooded out. You could see the water levels 6-7 feet high in the storefront. So you knew computers were lost, equipment was lost, inventory was lost. You see sometimes where there's a fire in one building, you know, maybe at the end of a strip mall, but because of high winds or something else, maybe poor construction, of businesses ruined by fire, earthquake, any natural disaster. You know, we saw it down in Westfield a few weeks ago where a Whole Foods has been forced to close because of the snow load on the roof, making the roof collapse. So now the question becomes to you, the business owner, and to your team, how fast can you be up and running in the event of a disaster? Now, when you think about potential disasters that your small business could confront, any number of worst-case scenarios might come to mind. According to Manta's Wellness Index, 37% of small business owners said that their business would not be able to recover from an act of God, such as fire or flood. However, according to experts, those fears can easily be eliminated. And while there's no arguing that recovering from natural disasters can be a long and challenging process, according to Jay Shelton, who's the Senior Vice President of Risk Management Services at Assurance, small business can recover. Ease the stress on everyone involved with a proper business continuity and disaster plan in place, he explained. Proper planning can limit exposure to economic turmoil, especially if you're forced to close operations for a period of time, whether that's days, weeks, or months. Additionally, it can limit lawsuits from clients, customers, and employees. Here's a couple things you want to do. You want to develop actionable plans for every type of disaster that could affect your location. You want to ensure that you have proper insurance coverage. You want to keep copies of insurance policies and other critical documents in a safe, accessible location. You want to create communication procedures so that employees, vendors, and customers know how to reach you. And you want to make sure that your staff is familiar with and understands the plan. Now, if the business is properly insured, then restoring and rebuilding the business to its pre-loss condition should not be an issue, said Ronald Dilo, who's the president of the Insurance Claim Consultants. Every year, business owners must reevaluate insurance policies to ensure policy coverages and limits are set at the right level or at the correct appraised value for both the structure and the business property. Purchasing extra coverage, such as business interruption, loss of use, extended coverage, and extra expenses, will ensure the highest probability of a full and prompt recovery. So instead of worrying about what if, maybe it's best to look at the how to and be as prepared as possible in the event that something unfortunate should strike. So I want to take a few minutes to talk about this because everybody at Crown Trophy at the corporate level and in some of the stores thought I lost my head a few years ago when I developed a disaster recovery plan. And I wanted to share this with my fellow store owners on how to develop it. It doesn't take long. It is a little bit of work, but corporate nixed it, and they said, nah, we don't think we really need this until such time as a disaster happens. So we had one store, I believe it was in South Dakota, maybe, where a drunk driver drove right through the showroom window, created not only the damage that ensued, but structural damage that forced the building to be rendered uninhabitable for a period of time until a couple of support columns could be replaced. We had another store that suffered a major fire. So without a contingency plan in effect, without a disaster plan, how quickly can you get your business back up and running? So I took it probably to the nth degree, and this probably comes from my experience working with in an insurance company for the first 10 years of my career. I looked at this at several different disasters. The one that scares me the most is fire, because I work in a very old building. It's made of wood timbers, and if that goes up, 60-year-old dry wood is just going to go like crazy. The fire department doesn't have to call me at 2 in the morning because there's not going to be anything left to sell or to save. And then, you know, we've already had problems with Superstorm Sandy where we ripped off an 80-foot section of the roof. So we've proven that hurricanes can happen in New Jersey, that we could have significant water damage. The showroom ceiling, you know, collapsed. But I had to be open as quickly as possible. So let's take a worst-case scenario, like a flood. How fast can you get up and running? Now, I've already called all of my equipment vendors, and I said, how fast could you get me a new engraving machine? How fast could you get me a new sandblast cabinet? And everything came back to within 48 hours, even if it was just a loaner until my equipment could be repaired. So I was good, 48 hours. How fast can I get all of my files, my customer files, back to a usable fashion? Well, what we've been in the process of doing for the past 6 months is scanning every customer file. All of our databases are now electronic. They're in the cloud. They're backed up four ways. And so I may lose computers, but I'm not out of business because I can't get in touch with my customers. We also have constant contact. All of my customers are in there. So if I needed to tell them, we've had a serious damage to our building, but we are open and we're at this location, they will find us. Talk to my vendors. How fast can I? Would I be able to get material? How fast would I be able to? What will we do for credit terms, et cetera, while we work through this? All of them, you know, we came up with a pretty good plan that said, you know, as far as credit, going from net 30 to net 60, because we're going to need some capital to work with. All of this information is in a binder that sits in the safe in my office. A copy of all that information is on a disk that is in the bank, and another copy is on a disk that is at home in a lockbox. All of my employees, everybody has each other's cell phone, and they know who they have to call in the phone chain if there's a problem. So the communication is there. I'm convinced that I could have my business back up and running, servicing customers within 48 to 72 hours. Think about your business. Are your files backed up? Have you talked to vendors about equipment replacement, about being able to procure supplies that you need? Have you talked to any local landlords to see if they have available inventory, if you had to move on a temporary basis, and would they give you that space for a period on a month-to-month lease or even a short-term loan or a short-term lease like 6 months until you were able to rebuild? I can't emphasize enough how important disaster recovery is to a business. When a fire hits, when a flood hits, so many times you just see that the owners, not that they give up, it seems monumental, but they kind of like throw in the towel and say, oh, well, and they become the victim. And I don't think we all have to be like that. If you talk to your bank, you talk to your creditors, you talk to your vendors, you talk to your suppliers, very often you'll see they will work with you. And they'll do more for you than they normally would under normal operating conditions. So think about it, though. We have every credit card that we have in our business in that notebook, with the expiration dates, with what bank it is, with the phone number. So if we have to call them and say, look, we've had this situation, you know, we may miss this month's payment, we're ready to go. But it also helps us that, let's say the credit cards, you know, we keep them in the safe. Let's say I can't get to the safe for a few days. I still have access to the number. So if I have to phone in orders, we can do that. So again, disaster preparedness, disaster recovery, how fast you can get back online with your business is key. And hopefully something that you're already looking into before you need to. So hopefully that story would help several businesses in the area. And anytime you're in any kind of an old building like you see surrounded here in Flemington, you want to make sure that you're prepared for everything. Now, a lot of listeners have been writing to me, texting me, et cetera, and saying that they're tired of losing business to their competition. And they want to know how we could combat that. So first I want to ask you this question. If all it took was for your competitors to offer a lower price to steal the business, were you really taking care of the needs of your best client? And if you look at in any business, it really doesn't matter what it is, whether you're selling trophies, whether you're a plumber or anything else. When you look at your business, you've obviously come up with a pricing scale that works for you. You have the right profits set aside. You're making money. You're able to pay your employees, etc. But now, you know, XYZ company moves in down the block. Maybe it's a competitor who's struggling and they just decide it's time to drop their pants and lower the prices. There are competitors out there who will do that just to have the volume and keep the lights on rather than actually running a business for its intended purpose to make a profit. For me, the cardinal rule of sales is people buy from people that they like, who they trust, and with whom it is convenient, period. 99% of the time, it is not the price that decides where one will shop. If you want to win those accounts back, take a long, hard, honest look at how your customers perceive your likability, your trustworthiness, and the convenient ease of shopping with you. We recently, about 2 months ago, switched over to credit card processing with Square.com. And what I didn't realize was that when we send out a receipt through Square, it also offers them a survey. And we're getting tremendous feedback from this. And they have a lot of different categories, from the time it took to fulfill the order to the friendliness of the staff to how clean the showroom is. So there's a lot of great metrics that we can be watching there. But do you take the time to really get to know the client on a personal level? And if you recall, a few weeks ago, I had a story where I mentioned that customers want to be engaged with you. They want to know a little bit about you. They want you to know a little bit about them. There's nothing better than when a customer walks into our store and we say, hi, how you doing? And the next thing we're talking about, hey, how'd your daughter make out in that horse show? Or how did your son do in that basketball game or something like that? If it was important to them then, I want to remember it the next time through so that, you know, we can make that connection. So do you make sure the customer is aware of and acknowledges the little things that you do for them? Could be delivery, could be how you label packages so they can find material quickly, or the extra attention to detail with their order and the special personalized ways that they are welcomed, thanked, and cared for when you see or talk with them. Do you send out thank you notes after the sale, like 2 weeks after the sale, just to remind them that you're still here and include maybe 3 bullet points of what sets you apart from your competition? Are you prompt in returning their phone calls with answers to their questions? Is your company policy written for the customer's convenience or only for the benefit of the enterprise? It's never too late to win back a good customer that succumbed to the allure of a lower price. So rededicate your company into extending that TLC, and that is trust, likability, and convenience. Your clients crave and deserve it. Good luck. And remember, you know, even if a person has left you, never, ever, ever stop marketing to them. Market your sales, market your service, market the customer experience. Talk to, when you see something in the newspaper that they've received an award or something, you be the first one to congratulate them, and eventually, hopefully, you will win them back. But you never stop communicating with them because they used you once. Now you have to prove to them that they should use you again. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm going to step away for news and weather, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the 5 things you need to know before starting your own business. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
We were slanted on like a 25-degree angle, so it was very stressful and the refrigerator and all the drawers flew out.
Passengers are shaken up this morning as they continue to leave a Royal Caribbean ship that was tossed around in a major storm.
Happy to be home. This has been an unbelievable nightmare. Frightened I wouldn't see my grandkids again.
The Anthem of the Seas never made it to the Bahamas and returned to port in New Jersey last night after battling 30-foot waves and hurricane-like winds Sunday. Many passengers say they're happy to get a refund and half off their next cruise. Royal Caribbean says it'll review its storm avoidance policy. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will try to rebound from her drubbing in New Hampshire during tonight's Democratic presidential debate. Clinton will square off against Bernie Sanders after the Vermont senator's blowout primary win. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Angie Austin with Daybreak USA. I have to be honest with you. I was thrilled when Ovation Hair sought me to give them an endorsement because I love their products. Ovation Cell Therapy Protein and Amino Acid Treatment nourishes my hair and scalp, and it binds onto the hair shaft. I don't know exactly how it works, but all I can tell you is I normally have extremely fine hair, and I normally wear a hat. But my hair is so much thicker and fuller when I use this product. I've even gone to the salon, had them do my hair, blow my hair dry, and I've come home and redone it myself because my Ovation Cell Therapy hair products make my hair thicker and fuller so I can do a better job at home by myself with my Ovation products. If you'd like to try them, please, you can get a discount by choosing Angie Austin Daybreak USA when you check out. Go to ovationhair.com, ovationhair.com. There is a satisfaction money-back guarantee, and I am telling you, I guarantee you will love the products. OvationHair.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you for about the next half hour. And before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows you better have a heavy coat, gloves, and hat ready for this weekend because right now we have 20 degrees at 12:34, and we're going to have snow showers possible throughout the day with windy conditions, colder temperatures, a high of only 28 degrees, a low of 17. Tomorrow, again, cloudy and cold with a high of 28, a low of 16. Saturday, we're going to have variable cloudiness with a high of only 21 degrees and a low of 1 degree. And for Sunday, it'll be sunny and frigid with a high of 20 degrees and a low of just 4 degrees. So bundle up, everybody.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way we be. Taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
I wanted to follow up on a story that we just did before the break. We were talking about why it's important to, you know, provide your customer with the best service and everything else so you don't lose them to someone else. But we talked about losing someone because of price. And I really hate this. And I lost a big account this year, or half of the big account, to an internet company solely based on price. And I got the chance to see the product when I delivered my product. And it was obviously, I don't mean this in a bad way, it was an inferior product. They settled because of being driven by price rather than raising their registration fees to cover the cost of doing business with me. They went out and got somebody cheaper. The awards don't look as good as what we've been providing. They're not well made, and I'm afraid that somewhere in the year the customers and their customers will start to complain. So There is a class of customer. There's a couple of different classes of customers. There are the ones, the tire kickers that just stop into your business and see, you know, what you have to offer and whether or not it's something they need, but they're not going to make a purchase. Then you have the people who will buy, the impulse buyers. They're just going to buy because they want to buy something. There's the smart buyer who will buy from you even though they know they could get it cheaper elsewhere. And then there's price buyers. Now, as a continuation of that story we had before the break, I want to talk about price buyers just a little bit and why sometimes you should just let them go. Now, if you've ever lost a new customer to a shop down the street who undercut your fair and reasonable price, your first instinct might have been to match that lower price to win back the order, but a better decision would be to just let the business go. Now, it's not a bad decision letting a customer walk, provided that the length of your relationship with this particular prospect was relatively short-lived. If this phenomenon is an isolated incident that happens from time to time, I wouldn't give your decision to pass a second thought. As a matter of fact, you might have just done yourself a favor. Chances are, if a customer will readily look down the block to save a few bucks, they may never fully appreciate all you could do for them or what you bring to the dance. However, if you find that you continue to lose a significant number of jobs to the competition because of a lower price, then I think you have to do some soul searching. Now, here are some questions you should consider when that starts to happen. Did I take the time to listen and fully understand the level of quality, service, and delivery that the customer was looking for before I quoted the price? Did I over-engineer the proposal? Did I plan to use higher quality materials than the customer needed or include some other aspect of service that the customer never asked for? Are my costs for the specified job excessive, either in cost of raw materials or labor? And did you adequately explain the plan and the process, all the things that you would be doing for the customer in filling the order along with communicating the price? Another thing you want to check after you've lost the business or even beforehand, make sure that you're bidding apples to apples. You know, if you're saying, I'm going to provide this level of service, I'm going to provide this particular product, and your competition is coming in with something that's inferior, then, you know, you have to explain to your customer that this won't work. When I was in the door industry, very often three types of doors would be specified: Algoma, Mohawk, and Weyerhaeuser. If someone came in with something else, the engineer had to throw, or the purchasing agent had to throw their bid out simply because it wasn't in the spec and the architect would never approve it. So make sure you're comparing and you're bidding apples to apples. Notice that not once did I entertain the possibility of lowering your gross profit margin. Once you are convinced that your cost of goods sold are in line with the industry average for your geographic area, hold firm on the prices that you need to charge to be profitable and remain in business. Even if all things are equal, people will buy from people who they like, trust, and find it convenient to do business with, and rarely are things equal. Smart businesses make sure that all things are not equal. One final observation, if a customer approaches you saying, I can get the same stuff down the block cheaper, ask yourself why they are still in front of you at that moment, 3 to 5 minutes later, asking for a lower price. Most likely, the truth is that they really want to buy from you because of something that you can provide that they can't get elsewhere. Establish a value for what sets you apart from the competition and convert your higher price as a reason why they should buy from you, because it is exactly what they were looking for. So some good advice there. And a lot of people hate when I talk about, you know, giving up a customer. They say, well, I'm giving money away. You might be, but you could probably make more money working with customers that want to deal with you. So sometimes that's not a bad thing either. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. So glad you could join us. So glad to be back on the air after last week, when the station went dark. So glad that we're all back together again, getting the band back together and enjoying it. Is there a way to maximize the response to your sales emails? This is something that many stores that I work with on the Crown Trophy side always ask me about. They know that I am pretty prolific at email marketing, and they want to know, does it result in an immediate sale? And I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to create that front-of-mind presence. But now, how can you maximize the responses that you do get to your emails? Now, no small business owner spends time perfecting their email marketing strategy and sending sales emails just for fun. It's all about the bottom line. Now, here's how you can make your sales emails as effective as possible. First, make it personal. Don't start by talking about your business. Instead, focus on your customer and establish a personal connection right away. Refer to customers by name or mention a mutual contact in your subject line. Carry on that personal touch in your message body by mentioning where you last saw them, identifying a challenge their business faces, or complimenting them on a recent accomplishment. Keep it short. The most common mistake that small business owners make when writing sales emails is making them too long. You're busy, they're busy, so don't waste anyone's time. Make your sales pitch in three sentences or fewer. Identify a problem they may be having and succinctly tell them how you can help. Don't worry about explaining every detail as to how you would do it. You're trying to get a response, not to close a deal. And leave just one option. You have one goal, not three, so don't propose three things. Muddling the call to action will decrease your chance of a response. You might ask customers to try a demo to let you know if they're even interested or to schedule a time to meet, but not all of them. If they can answer your email with a message as simple as, yes, I'm interested, then you've done your job and you move on to the next step. So just a couple things. The sales emails, when it comes to, like, for instance, Crown, mine are always personal. I never sell anything. I talk about what's happening at the shop, what's happening in the community, things that people will have an interest in. This past week, we had a tremendous response when I, very late on Friday, sent out an email showing a short video of how the Vince Lombardi trophy was made. And there were so many click-throughs on that and so many emails back to me saying, man, that was great information. I'm going to use that Sunday when I'm at the party. I'm going to show it to people at the party. We saw additional click-throughs late on Sunday. So it's about keeping it real, keeping it personal, and you don't always have to be pushing a product. When you're in that mode where you have someone who definitely has an interest, this is not a mass mailing, but one customer, and you want to sell something, then yes, you definitely want to pitch. But definitely at the end, make sure that you have a call to action. Currently 12:42, you're listening to Taking Care of Business here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Still got a lot to talk about, so why don't we step out, take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about six tips to reduce distractions. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Huntington on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Huntington Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Huntington Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. Hello to Mike out in Portland, Lori in Phoenix, and Brian up in Boston. Thanks for joining us here today. Well, six tips to reduce distractions. And work these days is no longer limited to just the office. More and more people are choosing home-based jobs that pay just as well, if not more. And as the labor force transforms, the type of distractions we face also change in nature. Aside from the usual office gossip or chatter, today our attentions are also challenged by the World Wide Web, by social media, and mobile apps. However, these distractions are sometimes necessary to complete our tasks, like tweeting to promote a book or promote healthy relationships. So what do you do when you have a deadline in 3 hours, plus a mountain of emails to check, if you can't plan ahead? Now, here's six tips to try to boost your productivity without scrimping out on a little bit of good old fun. Number one, you want to schedule your small tasks for last. This is one of my favorite pieces of advice, which has always saved me plenty of time and headaches. Simply put, no matter how big your to-do list is for that day, eat the live frogs first. And this technique was taken from Mark Twain's quote, which means you need to finish your biggest task first so that you can go through the day knowing that the worst is over. For instance, if you need a report done by 3 p.m., but you also need to reply to emails, obviously your frog is the report. So put the emails last, as that can be more time-consuming. CEO and success coach Brian Tracy suggests doing your ugliest, most challenging tasks first, and if you had to choose between two frogs. Two, you want to use tools. Take advantage of modern technology. Ask yourself, what's the best way to help you concentrate? Is it a post-it note, an online timer, a mobile planner? Choose something that works for you and that you're comfortable using every day. I personally subscribe to both the traditional, the customized planner, and the modern and online app ways to make sure that I remove unnecessary distractions during work. I love to use Toggle, which is T-O-G-G-L, to help me stay on track of my daily activities, while Redbooth allows me to stay in touch with colleagues no matter how many projects we tackle. Use tools in conjunction with tip number one for a great increase in your efficiency. Number three, talk to distractors. A little office chatter is fine. In fact, it's one of the best ways to avoid feeling isolated at work and to connect with your team. However, there are just times when the last thing you need is noise. If you work in an open office setting, it can be difficult to avoid this type of distraction. What I like to do, because we use tools like Skype, is to change my status to busy to indirectly say that I need to be left alone, but I'm still available in case they need help. If noise really bothers your productivity, though, talk to your team or your supervisor about it. For individuals who work from home, distractions can come in the form of house calls from friends or neighbors. Don't be afraid to politely reschedule. Be honest and tell them that you need to finish a project, but would love to have lunch or dinner as soon as you're available. And here's an important note. Children should not be treated as distractors. If your kids, your grandkids, your nieces or nephews ask for some time, give them your full attention, or don't give them any at all. Don't even have them over the house. One of the things I do is if I have a big project due, I tell everybody on my staff, I'm going into lockdown mode. I go in my office, I shut the door, but they all know if it's urgent, come get me. Don't stand around for an hour with nothing to do. You also may want to use headphones. If your colleagues aren't getting the hint, make sure to pack your headphones with you so you can drown out some needless noise. Just be sure to check in if your office permits the use of it during working hours. If you prefer earplugs to completely get away from chatter, just be cautious because you may not hear the people who are calling for you. Fill up your music player with your favorite tunes or maybe relaxing melodies like the sound of rushing waves just to get you into your zone where you can concentrate. This next tip I started doing several months ago and I absolutely love it. Keep your desk clear. Sure, a tiny plush toy or small picture frame is okay to personalize your working space, but there's such a thing as too much of a good thing. Now be honest, is your desk littered, cluttered? And although people may argue that a messy desk is a sign of a creative mind, it just shows unprofessionalism at the office. If you work from home, a cluttered desk wastes your time by having you sort through piles when searching for stuff. So ensure that important information is safe and away from prying eyes by keeping a clean work area. Take home books and magazines, eat away from your desk, compile papers and binders or folders, tuck away items in your drawer. The cleaner your workstation is, the better you'll feel about finishing your tasks. Think about it. If you have five piles of folders that are 6 or 7 inches tall, you're inundated. Put them in a different location and work on one file at a time. You also want to move away sometimes. Sometimes, no matter what you do, distractions are going to follow you. There are just noises you can't drown out or people who are difficult to talk to. In such situations, perhaps your best recourse is to just move away from the distraction. For people who work in open office settings, here are a few suggestions. If you need to fully concentrate on a task, ask if you can borrow the conference room or any available vacant space to focus. Is your office empty before or after working hours? Try eating your frogs during those times when there are fewer people on the floor. Strike a deal with your boss if you can have flexible hours. That way, you can choose to work away from the office on specific days of the week. Now, how about for folks who work from home? Here are a couple of recommendations. Set up your own work area that's away from the usual distractions, such as the TV, a PC, or a fridge. If it's too hard to focus at home, why not go out? See if you can do more at your local cafe, community park, or a library. Yes, they still have libraries. If there's a deadline looming but there are just too many interruptions, it may not be healthy, but for emergency cases, you can also finish tasks either late at night or early in the morning when there's not much activity in your home. At the end of it all, the key here is to maintain a certain level of self-discipline. Distractions don't just come in the form of noise or unwanted calls. Understand what your biggest diversion is and do your best to keep away from it until you're done with important tasks. Work hard, but play hard too. After a long, grueling day, don't hesitate to reward yourself to a much-deserved treat. Go home and put your feet up. So just a couple of ways that you can minimize distractions, six of them, in fact. And hopefully, one of the key themes that has been coming through from the listeners is increasing productivity, maximizing efficiency, customer service, sales, marketing. We're going to touch on these topics just about every week, so hopefully you'll find something that will help you as well. All right, currently 12:50, and taking a look at what's going on here. I did want to mention one thing over here. Just got to grab this. You know, we have the Sports Guys show on Friday afternoons at 5 o'clock, and they are sponsoring a trip to the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. You can look them up at phantomshockey.com. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce night with the Sports Guys. Tickets are just $17. Seats are located at Center Ice, and two lucky fans will have the opportunity to ride the Zamboni during the second intermission. Folks, I think I have to go to this simply because if I were to win the Zamboni ride, that would be clicking off number 97 on my bucket list. I've always wanted to ride on a Zamboni. I think it's one of the most fascinating engineering marvels of our time, how it's able to scrape the ice, clean the ice, and get it back. And unless you played ice hockey, you may not understand, but it's just a phenomenal machine, and I love watching it every time that it runs. Here, let's see if we got the time for this one. I think we do. Yeah. Five things you need to know before starting your own business. And a lot of people have come up to me and they'll say, well, I'm thinking about leaving I'm retiring, but I want to do something else. I'm thinking of opening up this business or that business. Sometimes it's a card store or a flower shop or something like that. Now, if you're an entrepreneur, you already know that starting a business is a lot of work. And while courses and degrees may help you prepare, there are some things you just have to learn on the job through trial and error. And I learned some hard lessons deep in the trenches. So here are five things I wish I knew before I started my own business. Number one, know your market. There's a difference between knowing your market and really knowing your market. Now, after working with hundreds of customers over the past 6 years, I now realize how much our market has evolved. In the past few years, I've learned that we can't service every client in the same way, nor do we need to be serviced the same way. We originally thought that we could provide the same services to every customer, but given that our market is made up of different types of customers, our services should reflect this. That's why we added different business units, including apparel and signs and promotional items. So take note of your customers' preferences early on to ensure that your business model satisfies the needs of the market. You also want to be able to see the forest and the trees. When you're first starting your business, you're in tune with every detail. You probably check every proposal that goes out, every plate that leaves the kitchen, and every order that is sent out for delivery. The details sometimes become so overwhelming that you forget to look at the big picture. Running a business means you have to be able to see your business both at the micro level and at the macro level. The ability to simultaneously analyze the big picture and the individual pieces that make up your business is no easy task. And I had a hard time pulling myself out of everyday tasks, but doing so allowed me to make the changes that have propelled our company forward. So set yourself up for success by looking at your business from the top and from within, and you'll discover a lot about your company that will help you to both run it and grow it successfully. You want to also turn challenges into opportunities. Now, as an entrepreneur, you'll go through a lot of ups and downs. That means you have to hear a lot of no's before you hear any yeses. A great idea may turn out to be not such a great idea, and the changes to your industry and the challenges of running a business, and you'll see why these burdens can prove to be burdensome. Young entrepreneurs often get discouraged when they let challenges get the best of them. But dealing with these hurdles is simply part of running a business. What's important is that you learn how to turn them into opportunities. You also want to plan for growth. This is perhaps one of the hardest challenges for entrepreneurs. The initial excitement of success and growth can be so overwhelming that we often forget to plan ahead. And while growth can be a sign of success, sustainable growth is paramount for the longevity of any business. A growth plan will ensure that you have continued growth rather than explosive growth, which can turn out to be disastrous for many businesses. Having a plan means more than just having your financials in order. It means having a systematic way of growing, from how many new employees you need to hire to what size office building you need. You also want to stay informed. No matter what industry you're in, it's important that you keep your eyes and ears open as to what's going on around you. You have to know what's changing in your industry and with your customers, whether that means adding something to your restaurant menu to accommodate growing trends, like gluten-free, or injecting technology into the way you run your business. In the marketing industry, I've learned that staying ahead is a means of survival. Consumer shopping habits have totally changed in the last few years. If your company had not evolved to meet those new changes, you'd be out of business by now. So stay informed and learn what changes you need to make based on what's most important to your industry and your customers, and this will ensure that you stay relevant and that your customers are engaged. Yes, there will be ups and downs and unexpected turns and twists throughout your career. I know I've gone through my own bumpy ride along the way. What I've learned a lot, though, is that I wish I'd been told to work on these five areas when I first started out. So hopefully that will help you, and good luck in whatever you decide to do. Just a reminder, on next week's show, I'm going to be interviewing the chief marketing officer from On Deck Capital, which is an alternative way to get funding for your business. If your business could use some operating capital or to buy new equipment or reduce debt, you don't want to miss this show next Thursday. Also, gentlemen, hello. Hello. This Sunday is Valentine's Day. You have been warned, gentlemen. Good luck. Just saying. In NASCAR, there are only 10 more days until the Daytona 500 and the 2016 NASCAR season beginning. I can't wait. Let's just practice.
Ready. Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
Oh, I love those words. I love it even more when the engines crank up. Oh, I'm so looking forward to the Daytona 500. Just love it. Well, this week NASCAR introduced a franchise system that I will want to talk about down the road in a future show. Basically, what this does is it gives team owners what they call a charter system, which is going to guarantee that 36 drivers, 36 teams, will make the field each week if they are chartered. It also has some financial incentives as well. They also reduce the number of car entries in races from 43 to 40. Also in NASCAR, tomorrow it is expected that Stewart Haas Racing will announce that driver Brian Vickers will be named as the replacement driver for Tony Stewart for this year's Daytona 500. Stewart fractured a vertebrae in his back while riding an ATV in California last week. No plans for Vickers to continue any further into the season, but that will be determined on a week-to-week basis. In the NFL, the Denver Broncos defeated the Carolina Panthers 24-10 to win Super Bowl 50 and celebrated with a parade through downtown Denver on Wednesday. No word yet on if Peyton Manning will return next year. Not sure about you, but there's two reasons why you watch the Super Bowl. One is for the game. One is for the commercials. The game wasn't that great. Glad Denver won. The commercials absolutely stunk this year. So a message to all advertisers out there. You got to try harder next year. In the NCAA basketball, Villanova is currently holding down the top spot in the AP Top 25, followed by Maryland, Oklahoma, Iowa, and Xavier. Kansas, Virginia, Michigan State, North Carolina, and West Virginia round out the top 10. In the NBA, we are at the All-Star break this weekend. So if you're interested in some action on the hardwoods, you'll want to tune in to watch the dunk contest and the NBA All-Star game. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today. And I always end the show with some great advice that I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. Or you can connect with me on LinkedIn or on Twitter at JimGano83 or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano and I am taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Through. This is USA Radio News.
Any Jane Doe can tell you that Geico could help you save, but since money talks, we just ask the savings instead.
Greetings and sun salutations. I'm Jane's Money.
And I never knew my self-worth until Jane switched her car insurance at Geico.com. Those 15 minutes built me up, too.
Kid, this facility is like a ship. So how do I keep us on course without micromanaging every detail? Easy, with Grainger. Grainger's online tools help give me the visibility I need. I can shop, order, and manage all our activity. Oversee purchases, control costs, all while you guys get to